A very good evening and a welcome along to this New Year edition of Gospel for You. It's our first new programme, so we're going to say a proper Happy New Year to you, even though we're well through the month. Today's scripture is all of Romans chapter 5, and our theme for today is grace for reconciliation. Our heart is to get the gospel out to every language group around the world. That's the gospel of salvation possible through Jesus Christ. And Romans 5 is a good indication of that. And we've got a testimony, and we've also got a gospel message coming up for you as well. Let's read through Romans chapter 5 first of all. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of this one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that, just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is Gospel for You, and we've been reading through the whole of Romans chapter 5. My name is Rob Rowe. A great pleasure to have you along this evening to this Gospel for You program. Grace for Reconciliation. And this particular chapter has gone into reconciliation through that one man, Jesus Christ. And it is in that believing and that confession that we are saved, but only through Jesus Christ. In this particular program, we have your gospel. Your gospel is John chapter 3, verse 16, in different languages from around the world, because we want to reach language groups from every language group one day, so that all are able to hear, see, and experience the gospel for themselves. That is the heart of what we are doing, and little by little, we are getting there. God's put this onto my heart. I'm starting the work, but I'm looking for others with that heart to come and join me to really make that grace go out to all people. Whosoever believes shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Now, that your gospel is given in different languages, and we are going to be hearing it this evening in the following languages: Dutch, Russian, and Lithuanian. We've also got a testimony from Robert Todd and a gospel message from Vernely Gospel Hall. Right, let's get into your gospel in a Dutch.
Want zo lief had God de wereld, dat hij zijn enige geboren zoon gegeven heeft, opdat ieder die in hem gelooft niet verloren gaat, maar het eeuwige leven hebben.
Hello, good evening. My name is Robert Todd. I'm a farmer. Silver hair now. Quite on in years, and the Lord has now given me wisdom. It was always there, but I never seemed to take it. Joanna, just to give you a run through of my testimony, as a young boy, brought up in Northern Ireland, youngest of eight, we were sent out to Sunday school regularly every Sunday, and there was a wee meeting hall every Tuesday night it was on, and a good local neighbour would have came in the car and picked us up and brought us to the wee gospel meeting. And we had wonderful times there, sharing and singing choruses, and they were all very good to us. And would have went to church on a regular basis. In our home, your shoes was cleaned on a Saturday night. They were not cleaned on a Sunday. And that's just how things were. So you'd went to church in the morning and Sunday school in the afternoon on the Sunday. And great family upbringing on a farm. And then through the teenage years, drifted away from God, wild teenage years, meeting with friends and lots of parties, alcohol. You know, and there was four times I escaped death. One time it was when a tractor went over my leg right up to my waist, and when the tractor came back off, there was nothing broken. Another time with a bull, I was just in a half a meter of being mauled to death with him. Another time was when we were going to the dances on a Friday and Saturday night, my friends called for me this particular night, and I wasn't ready. I had a lot of work to do on the farm, and I said to the boys, boys, go without me. No, we're not going without you. Go and get ready. And so I kept the boys late that night, and we normally went to a place in Guildford in Northern Ireland, to a bar. And that particular night, I kept the fellas so late, we we didn't go to the bar, we went straight on to the dance because I'd kept them so late. But we were only in the dance a short time when there was a huge explosion and the place shook. And the bomb wasn't in the dance, the bomb was in Guildford, where we would have been. So praise God that we were out of it that night. Another time when I was going to visit my girlfriend, and it was in the winter time, and stopped at a junction to give way, black dark night, and all these masked men came out of nowhere, surrounded the car. And that time it was tit for tat shooting, Catholic one night, Protestant the next, and so it went on. So they questioned me my name and where I was going, and they questioned the name of my girlfriend, and what I said must have pleased them because they let me go. All in that, I wouldn't be here with you today to give you this testimony. So Northern Ireland, my wife and I, we thought this is no place then when we got married, no place to bring up wee ones, so we left Northern Ireland and came to Scotland. Now we're based in Fife and we farm here. And we went along to church regularly every Sunday, brought the children to Sunday school, and they asked me would I become an elder, and I says I'm not fit to be an elder. You would need to be a man of God to be an elder. So they said that there was nobody to help them with anything and nobody wanted to take on any roles, and I said I would help them whatever way I could, but do not give me a district, because I felt you'd need to be a man of God to speak to people. So they gave me this role as an elder, and I wasn't there 3 or 4 days and they gave me a district. So I went round the district giving out invitations for communion and things like this here. And, you know, I'm thinking if I'm going to your house at 7 o'clock at night, that's early, but in the farming circle that is early, but in the towns they feel that's very late. But anyway, I tried to do it to the best of my ability and knew it wasn't right. And then my wife and I, we went to a different church, and there we heard the gospel being preached again. And they were running a course coming off called the Alpha Course, and my wife urged me to, why not let us go and take part in that? So we did, and we did X number of weeks in the Alpha Course. And at the end of the Alpha Course, there was an away day, and we're the wee group who was attending the Alpha Course. Away we went on this away day, and Eleanor and I that day, that was May 2010, we give our lives to Lord Jesus, we repented of sins, asked to get washed, cleansed with the blood of Jesus, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to become the new creation. That was May 2010. And then November 2010, we got baptized. Oh, what a day that was. Oh, what a day that was. I remember listening to Eleanor's testimony as she read it out that morning before we went to church, and I cried. And I said, Eleanor, I'm glad I listened to that there, because I don't want to be crying in the church. And so away we went, and you know, when it come to that time of getting baptized and reading out your testimony, I was put up first and I went first. And I remember I just couldn't control myself. I felt the Lord really put it on my heart about the overwhelming change that has come into your life now. And it was very emotional. And then Eleanor, she went forth and gave her testimony. And boys, did I not cry. Listen to it again. And then there was other lady giving her testimony that day too. And there the three of us got baptized one after the other. And what a day that was. For to go down in the water and doing what our Lord Jesus instructed us to do. Repent of sins. Get washed, cleansed with the blood of the Lord. And get baptized. And I come up out of the water. Oh, it was just tremendous. And then I feel now that I can ask the Lord a question. And I can put the fleece before the Lord. I can say, Lord, give me an answer to that prayer that I've just asked you, or that question. And I'd say, Lord, by the power of thy Holy Spirit, use my fingers and thumbs to open up the scripture and speak to me through your word. And time again, there is the answer waiting for me. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, the Lord says, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me. And that's what he has taught me to do. So now I go out in the mornings with the word of God, and I know I'm equipped for the day. And folks, if you're out there, you'll probably maybe be where I once was. I thought, I know the word of the Lord. I thought that I'm a good person and I don't do anybody any harm. And I thought, if there's such a place called heaven, I'll get there. Well, folks, Satan had me fooled. Because in Revelation, the Lord tells you about the books. There's a book of condemnation. And then there's God's book, the rule book. And you see, folks, my name was in one book. A sinner. Sinner. Caught up with pride and good works, good deeds, and heading for hell. And Satan had me fooled. And that day the Lord took my name out of that book and transferred it to the Lamb's Book of Life, where it says it'll never be blotted out. So praise God for what he's done in our lives. And folks, he can do the same for yous. He's known as the light of the world. But until you get that light in, you'll never experience the light. That's how I once was, fooled by the enemy. And the Lord tells you clearly about the 10 wise virgins. 5 were foolish, the 5 were wise. And the foolish came to a point in their lives that they realized that they were foolish. And they should have listened to the wise. Because then they went asking the wise for help, for some oil. That's to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And they were told, you have to go and get it for yourself. So they went to drop on their knees and ask the Lord Jesus to get filled with the Holy Spirit, to get oil in the lamp. And when they got up, the door was closed. And they knocked and shouted, Lord, did we not do this in your name? Did we not do that in your name? These are people who know the Lord They go to church, they sing in the choir, they play the organ, they read out the scripture, but they didn't do the word. You've got to do is what the Lord requires of you. Because the Lord said to those ones, get away from me, I never knew you. So folks, don't be fooled. Humble ourselves, come before the Lord, admit we're sinners, get washed, get cleansed with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because the scripture says nothing but the blood of Jesus will take away sin. And Jesus says, no one will come to the Father except through me. So that's what Eleanor and I had to do, go through Jesus to get to the Father. So thank you folks for listening. And praise God for what he has done in our lives and what he can do in yours. God bless.
Ибо так возлюбил Бог мир, что отдал Сына Своего Единородного, дабы всякий верующий в Него не погиб, но имел жизнь вечную.
Your gospel in Russian, a testimony from Robert Todd, and also your gospel in Dutch. Your gospel is getting that gospel out to every language group around the world, and it is the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation. And that's what we're here to do in this Gospel for You program. We're taking as our theme scripture all of Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading once again to remind ourselves from verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? We're now going in to a gospel message. This gospel message is delivered by Bokhi Vang. If I try to be good, do I get to heaven?
Oh, good morning and happy new year. It's a new year. It's a new start. And I wonder what your aspirations are for 2023. I wonder what your resolutions are for 2023. Perhaps you have resolved to read the whole Bible this year. Perhaps you've resolved to eat better and exercise more. Maybe to be more kind to others. Perhaps to do one act of kindness to a stranger every week. Perhaps you've resolved to spend less time on screen and more time with people. Perhaps you have arranged to meet up with a friend, or you plan to meet up with a friend every week, just to have that sort of face-to-face contact. Perhaps these were your resolutions for 2022, and you've kept them all. Does that make you a good person? Well, that question sort of brings us to the question we're asking today in our Question Time series. The question, as is on the screen there, is this: do I get to heaven if I try to be good? Now, that's a very good question. And it's a question that a lot of people ask and have asked throughout history. And perhaps you are sitting here today and you have that question yourself. Do I get to heaven if I try to be good? We're going to turn to the Bible to find the answer. I'm sure that's not a surprise to you. But before we do that, let me ask you some counter questions. How good is good? Is it a qualitative measure or is it a quantitative measure? I mean, If I have wasted decades in bad living and turn a corner and do well for a year, is that sufficient? Is that good? That's a sort of kind of a quantitative thing. Or is it more a qualitative thing? Is it, what if I do one extraordinary deed? Does that mean that's good? Good enough? Is that sufficient? Or perhaps is it all about trying? You know, if I try to be good, is the emphasis here, is it about trying? You know, if we all make a good go at it, is that what is required? And by whose standard do we measure goodness? Is it what Stephen thinks is good, or is it what Rigo thinks is good, or what is good in this country, or whose standard are we measuring? Now, if we were having a conversation and you were asking me the question, do I get to heaven if I try to be good? Those are the sort of questions I would ask back to you. Not to be rude, of course, but just to make you think about this question. So, what does the Bible say about this? Well, let's turn to the Bible and let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And these are possibly, probably, my favourite verses in the Bible. We could turn to many verses in the Bible, and we'll turn to one other section later. But I want to read to you three verses, and they're on the screen, and you can read them there as well. And it says, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 to 10 this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Amen. Now, in the verses leading up to these verses that we've read together, Paul tells us why we need to be saved. And we're going to think about that word first of all today. For by grace you have been saved. And in the verses before this, Paul tells us why we need to be saved. Now, to be saved means to be on the road to heaven. And the question is, if I try to be good, do I get to heaven? To be saved means that you are on the road to heaven. You have eternal life, which begins here and now and continues into eternity. And Paul says in these opening verses in this chapter that we are dead, disobedient drifters destined for destruction. That would summarize these verses. We are dead in our sins and in our trespasses. Because of our disobedience to God, we are drifting and we are destined for destruction. And that's why we need to be saved. One of the sort of standout pictures of 2022 is this one. I suppose there might be many or some photos that would come to your mind, or some occasions perhaps, or some footage of the year that's just gone by, which stands out to you. And this is one that stands out to me. And you might have seen this photo, or you might have seen this video, actually. And it is taken of a woman called Anita Alvarez from the USA. And she was competing in the World Aquatics Championships in Budapest in June, in the year that's just gone. And she was in the pool performing when she had some kind of a seizure. She fainted and she was sinking to the bottom of the pool. And her coach, Andrea Fuentes, she was aware of this and she dived into the pool and she took her out of the pool and she rescued her life. She was saved. She would have died in that pool if it had not been for her coach coming, noticing, diving into the pool and lifting her up. Anita Alvarez needed to be saved. She could do nothing to save herself. She was dying. And so Paul tells us in these opening verses of Ephesians chapter 2 that we are like Anita Alvarez. And we need to be rescued. We need to be saved. And that's why we need to be saved. It's because we're dead in our sins and in our trespasses. Before God, that's where we are. That's where we are by nature. And that is all of us. The Bible is very clear of that. That we are all like this. We are all like Anita Alvarez. Now, this is a picture, it's not a perfect picture, but I think it does illustrate well, and it's such a memorable picture. And then Paul comes and he describes to us salvation, why God saves, what salvation is, and how we receive God's salvation. And there are three words in these verses which are really key in understanding what salvation is. And I've highlighted those three words on the screen there. Grace, gift, faith. Those are really important words for us to grasp and to understand, so that we can understand God's salvation, so that we can understand what it means to go to heaven and how we can go to heaven. The word grace tells us why God saves. The word gift tells us what salvation is. And the word faith describes how we receive God's salvation. Grace. Grace means God's undeserved favor. I'm sure you've heard that many times if you've been coming to Fernley over a period of time. God's undeserved favor, and it is by grace that we are saved. Someone has described grace as God's love in action for those who don't deserve it. Grace is God's love in action for those who don't deserve it. It is God reaching out to those who don't deserve his favor. God's grace is extravagant. God's grace is scandalous, we could say. there is no sinner who is too sinful and too far away from God to be reached by the grace of God. That's why God's grace is extravagant. It's scandalous. Some people struggle with this idea. How can it be that a person who has committed crimes, unspeakable crimes, can turn to God in faith, believing in the Lord Jesus, and have his sins forgiven? That's scandalous. Some people can't accept it. But that's God's grace. There is no sinner who's too sinful or too far away from God to be reached by his grace. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, Paul speaks about the love of God, and grace is God's love in action. And Paul says about the love of God, and he speaks about its breadth and its length and its height and its depth. And John Stott says this about God's love: it is broad enough to encompass all mankind, long enough to last for eternity, deep enough to reach the most degraded sinner, and high enough to exalt him or to exalt her to heaven. That's God's love, and that is God's grace, God's undeserved favor. And Paul says here in Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved, by grace." That's why God saves, because God is a merciful and a gracious God. And the word "gift" that Paul uses, he says, "And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Salvation is a gift. A gift is received, not earned. We don't work for a gift. I'm sure most of us here would have received something at Christmas. Perhaps all of us did. And we simply received the gift with thanks, I hope. But we received it. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. That is what God's salvation is. It is a gift. And then Paul says further, and he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Faith is how we accept God's gift of salvation. It is about believing God. It is about trusting God. Faith is what saves, not works. Now, it's important to qualify this, and it's implicit in this verse, I suppose, but it is faith in Christ which saves. It is not faith in general. You know, if you speak to, I suppose, most people today will say they have faith, some kind of faith, maybe faith in the afterlife, or faith in a spiritual realm of some sort. But faith that Paul speaks about here in Ephesians 2 is faith which is placed in Christ. And it is faith in Christ which saves. "For by grace you have been saved through faith." It is a gift of God. And Paul makes very clear in these verses also what does not save. It is not your own doing. It is not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I think these verses are my favorite verses, perhaps because it's a beautiful and clear description of salvation. It is by grace, through faith. It is the gift of God. That is what it is. What it is not is through our own doing, our works, so that we may boast. Who gets the glory when a person is saved? It's not that person who trusts in God. That person simply receives God's gift of salvation. God gets all the glory. And as Christians, we glory, we boast, not in ourselves, not in what we have done, but in what God has done for us. And we simply accept it by faith. We take God at his word and we receive his gift by faith. That gift of salvation which the Lord Jesus procured for us when he died on the cross. You know, someone has described or explained grace and uses the word, the letters of the word grace as an acronym for this: God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. And salvation is God giving us his riches, his blessings, at Christ's expense, because Christ died on the cross. Christ endured suffering and death and being rejected by God, forsaken by God. And he bore the penalty of our sins. And because of that, we can enjoy God's riches, God's blessings, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And then Paul goes on in the end, in verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship." He's now speaking about Christians. We are his workmanship, God's workmanship, God's masterpiece, some translations put it. We are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, made new in Christ. That's a wonderful thing about salvation. We're not just created, made in the image of God, as we all are, but we are created in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation. We are God's workmanship. And we've been created for good works. We've not been saved by good works, but we've been created for good works. And we could put it like this: good works are the fruit of salvation, not the root of salvation. And that's what Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 10 tell us. We have been saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. That is the root of our salvation. That is the foundation. That is the grounding. Good works are the fruit. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And that's so important. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. Let me just finish with reading a few more verses. You know, it's not just Paul that teaches this, that salvation is through faith in the Lord Jesus. That it's not about us trying and by being good. The whole scripture teaches this, and the Lord taught this too. And the Lord taught spoke a parable, and we read of it in Luke chapter 18. And it says in verse 9, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they treated others with contempt. And he says, two men went up into the temple to pray. Here we have on the left-hand side the Pharisee. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector here behind me. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. That was the Pharisee's prayer in the temple. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the two prayers. I wonder who went home justified, who went home saved on the way to heaven. This is what Jesus says. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Here was one man who trusted in himself and his achievements, in his performances, in his works. And then there was another man. He realized his sin. He recognized that there was nothing in himself deserving God's grace. And he just simply prayed to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful. Be gracious. Show me grace. It was that tax collector, that sinful man, who went home justified, on the road to heaven. And this parable beautifully illustrates the truths that we learned from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God. So, do I get to heaven if I try to be good? The answer from Scripture must be no. It is by faith. It is through faith in the Son of God, who died on the cross, that we can be saved. Only through faith, and only faith in Christ, which saves. May God bless this word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Your mercy is new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. And we thank you for a new year. And as we enter a new year, Father, we pray that you'll help us to understand the greatness of your salvation and the greatness of our sin, and that salvation is by your grace. And we pray that if there's anyone here today who's not saved, who's still trying, still working, that you'll speak to them, open their eyes to see what you have done, that they may place their faith in you and accept the gift of salvation. We pray. Bless us today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bochy Vang asking the very pertinent question, if I try to be good, do I get to heaven? With a very clear answer from that is no. This is Gospel for You. Gospel for You is about bringing the gospel to every language group around the world. It's produced by Gospel for Grampian Radio here in Aberdeen. My name's Rob Rowe and I'm the director at Gospel for Grampian Radio, where we have a heart to get the gospel out to every language group around the world, not only so that all can hear, but that all can see and experience the gospel for themselves. And you might well ask, how on earth are people going to be able to do that? It's quite simple. Each of God's people is called to love our neighbour as ourselves. And now our neighbour could be our families. Our neighbour could be our next door neighbour or the man in the street, the people that we work with, and the list goes on. Some of those people might be on the buses or on the trains. Some of those people might be the people who serve us or rub us up the wrong way. Each and every one of them, though they might act in an unlovable way, and I have to remember this, each of them need to be able to hear, see, and experience the gospel for themselves. So the people of God, those who are called, those who have accepted Christ as Lord and Saviour, need to be able to demonstrate that love. And we can do that in different ways. And when we demonstrate the love, putting our differences aside so that other people can see Christ in us and other people can experience the gospel. So there are two languages then involved in each area of the world. That's the language of that area, but also the language of love. And it's in this way that we want to be able to bring the gospel. For today, we have been taking Romans chapter 5. And in the last little bit that I spoke before we had that message from Bochy Vang, we were reading from verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? This particular section is a time of prayer. It's a time of prayer for two reasons. First of all, praying for clarification. Because these are big subjects. And each of us has a particular set of upbringing, circumstances, understandings, wills, desires, which are often quite different from God's perfect will. And it is for that reason that Christ came into the world, that we might be able to tell of God's goodness and even demonstrate that to others. So we're going to be praying that God's perfect will be done and that God's grace, God's righteousness, God's truth will become clear to everyone, that believers from around the world might work together to demonstrate that. Now, having done that, we're going to give you, the listener, the opportunity to respond for yourselves to what you have heard. And at the end of the program, we'll be finishing off with your gospel in Lithuanian. Let's get into prayer right now. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that, first of all your people might put differences, doctrinal differences aside, accept that for the gospel, that for getting through the gospel of love and that grace for reconciliation. Let us demonstrate that grace to others, that each person from around the world might not only hear the gospel in their own local language, but be able to experience that gospel for themselves in a way that is real to them. And who knows, perhaps might even accept the gospel for themselves. I pray that this program, as it goes out, will challenge encourage, inspire, maybe even convict too. I pray that people might, even as a result of this program, hear and receive the gospel for themselves. Amen. Now is a time for you listeners, if you have been listening to this program and you would like to respond and say, yes, I would like Christ Jesus to be my Lord and Saviour, and have that hope made possible through Christ Jesus, then this is the way to do it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I come to you today even as I am. I'm sorry for every wrong thought, wrong deed, wrong word, wrong attitude that has kept me back. And those things that I haven't done, please forgive me. Please help me to repent. Please come into my life now by your Spirit to be my Lord and Saviour forever, and help me to be the person you want me to be. Amen. Listeners, if you've said that prayer, you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Saviour. And because you have done that, your life, all and everything that you have done wrong, is now seen by God through that of his Son, Jesus Christ. You are covered then by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is now a great opportunity to turn from everything as Christ enables you, and through this God's Spirit, Christ's Spirit, you will be enabled to do much more than you could ever think. You'll be changed from the inside out. Knowing Christ as Lord and Saviour means that you can now come to God in prayer, asking God to help you to understand the Bible better, and indeed about everything that concerns you. Philippians 4 verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests before God. And God wants you to come to him, and he desires that you place your trust in him. Lord, I bring these people before you, those who have accepted you as Lord and Saviour, and I ask you to help them to be truly the people you want them to be, and to live their lives to the full, also so that others can live their lives to the full as well. Thank you. Listeners, I'll be back again another week, but for the moment, bye-bye.
Dievas taip pamilo pasaulį, jog atidavė savo viengimį sūnų, kad kiekvienas, kuris jį tiki, nepražūtų, bet turėtų amžiną į gyvenimą.